You read the Bible, Rick.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's past.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Stuntsy pitches, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Monday, May 3rd, 2021. This is episode number 104, and my name is Jake.
I'm Chris.
I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we unlock our inner arcanas with our review of Mortal Kombat. We'll also talk some other stuff that we watched and whatever else comes up along the way. So thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Zach, how are your allergies doing, bud?
Not great.
Zach tonight decided to dress up as Tom Morello.
I've decided to dress up every day for the rest of my life as Tom Morello.
How long until you get an Arm the Homeless t-shirt?
Roughly 30 seconds.
So you can wear under that.
He's like currently looking.
I should get like the patch, and I should just patch it onto the side.
Okay, that's a better idea actually. Cause I think didn't Tom Morello wear a lot of patches?
I'm gonna Google it.
I'm kind of curious what spurred this uniform look that you wanted to go for.
I told you, I'm basically Steve Jobs.
Oh, I understand that, but like. Was it just like something where you saw the t-shirts and you're like, I think that looks good. I'm just going to go with
no,
that.
No, I was specifically looking for the Dickies t-shirts.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. He's got the Zapata's flag. I should even get that. Although it might not be a good idea for me to patch that onto my clothing, but.
But definitely get arm. But you got to get, so you got to get multiple so all your shirts can look the same.
This is true. See how much an Arm the Homeless. That's a great idea for a B movie. I don't know how no one's done it yet.
Isn't that like Hobo with a Shotgun?
Never seen it. Like a movie where they just give homeless people guns and they can just do whatever.
The Purge movie doesn't do that?
Not really.
Okay, or attempt that?
Aren't people, like, going around handing guns to people? Like, that's self-preservation time. You're keeping your guns so that you're prepared when the purge comes.
I feel like Hobo with a Shotgun is the closest, but I don't think he's handed a gun by the government.
It wouldn't be by the government. Are you stupid?
Oh, it would just be by random people?
Yeah.
Guns are expensive. Okay.
That's what the hunt should have been. Rich people gave the homeless guns to like invoke war in the streets.
So I also have to get a Make America Rage Again hat.
Does it look exactly like a MAGA hat?
Yeah.
It's red and it says Make America Rage Again?
Yeah, that's his current look.
Tom Morello hosts a SiriusXM radio station.
Is it Ozzy Osbourne's The Boneyard?
Nope. It's Tom Morello's Boneyard. Yeah, it's just him. He just picks songs that he really likes and tells you about it, and then you listen to it. Yep, check it out. You get to learn about what Tom Morello likes.
It'd just be like the widest range of music.
Was Tom Morello in The Prophets of Rage?
Yes.
Cool. Was that good?
You know, I didn't listen to the album.
I'm going to download it right now.
But wasn't it just, who did they bring on?
Chuck D and Rage Against the Machine.
Right. Didn't they just cover
some of the guys from Cypress Hill, right?
Didn't they cover Rage songs, or did they do a mix of original stuff?
Or is it all original stuff? Some original stuff. There's also
Unfuck the World.
Rage Against the Machine, Public Enemy, and Cypress Hill.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I never listened to it. I wasn't really that curious, to be honest.
Although it's very interesting to call yourself... Well, it's Tom Morello, Chuck D, and B-Real, because Zach De La Roca is not part of the project.
Yeah.
He's just keeping himself reserved for every Run the Jewels album.
Just one song. One song on every album.
Not a bad clip.
You gotta think, like, what does that guy do for a job?
Zach De La Roca?
Yeah.
I don't know. He probably lives a simple... Maybe he lives a really simple life so he can just protest all the time.
Maybe.
That sounds there like an exhausting life.
There should be, like, a live stream cam where we can just watch what he's doing.
What is he doing?
He's the one you want a 24-hour live stream cam of? Zach De La Roca.
It's probably interesting as fuck. Like, but
I would pick Mel Gibson, but...
Like Truman Show style, where he like doesn't know that I'm watching?
So like stalker style?
If you want to call it that.
Do you genuinely... Okay, you pick Mel Gibson.
I would pick Mel Gibson.
24-hour live cam? Why?
Do you know the kind of things you would see on a live cam of Mel Gibson?
I am curious what he does on like a regular everyday basis, but
exactly.
I feel like it's not anything I would want to watch beyond like the first couple days.
No, you would. See, his last official release was as One Day as a Line in 2008. It's been about 13 years.
Yep.
He has not had musical output. What are you doing for a living?
He just does that one track on a Run the Jewels.
How are you surviving?
It's enough for the year.
They pay him like $30,000 and he's just like, there's rent in my shitty apartment for the year and...
Dude, if Run the Jewels offered me $30,000 to feature on a song, I'd quit my job and not work for the year.
But they probably pay him more than that, though, for a feature.
No.
Yeah, man.
More than $30,000?
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing anybody would get paid more than $30,000 to do a feature.
Well, Kendrick, they do.
Kendrick Lamar charges $500,000 per feature.
Shut up.
Yep.
That's a disgusting amount of money. For like an afternoon's worth of work, probably.
Apparently, Zach De La Roca is worth $25 million somehow.
He's probably got like, you know, investments or whatever.
Fuck the 1%. I am the 1%.
Worth $25 million.
Or maybe he fucking sells cocaine. I don't know.
Very interesting.
He's like an up-and-coming cocaine mob boss out of wherever the fuck he lives.
Midland, Ohio, I think.
Oh, okay. There's no way he owns a cocaine business worth $25 million. From Midland, Ohio. It's funny as balls.
Because you got to be winding down classes pretty soon, aren't you?
I have two of my classes done. I've got a paper due on the 5th. I have an exam due by the 5th, and then I have a test on the 6th. And then that's
the 5th of May? The 5th of May?
Yeah, this week.
So 3 days and you're done for the summer?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
Quote, unquote, done for the summer. I'm still going to, like, keep up on reading, and, like, I'm going to get master class and, like, take a class or two to kind of stay in the swing of things, but yeah.
I thought you should do, like, classes.
Work at your own pace.
I thought you said you were taking cooking classes on MasterClass.
I mean, I am, but like I looked around and I found like a couple other things that are interesting. Like they have some economic stuff on there, and I'm kind of interested in learning about that. But they have like a history of America based around three different presidents, which was kind of cool.
Dude, the only history books you need to read are about the JFK assassination conspiracy.
Yeah.
You need to read about Lee Harvey Oswald, Didn't Act Alone, The Magic Bullet Theory.
Yeah. You just gotta, like, why don't you do a master class on, like, conspiracy theories or some shit?
All you have to read Ted Kaczynski's manifesto.
Fucking gosh. I read portions of the Communist Manifesto this year, and that was too much. There's no way I'm reading Ted Kaczynski's fucking manifesto.
Well, then you're not ready for the ultimate red pill, bud.
Not me. Not me, bud.
Wait, what do you mean the Communist Manifesto was too much? Like, you couldn't understand it?
I could understand it. It was just too fucking grandiose. Like, I'm sorry, but you don't need the word...
Did you go over what a manifesto is before you read this? Because that's literally the point.
I know. I hate that style. I'm just not a fan of it. I hated how much he used the word bourgeoisie. It was just so fucking annoying.
Oh, but I mean, those are like fundamental terms. It is,
I know. I know. Like, I get it. I get it. It's just like...
I really hate how manifesto-y your manifesto is.
Maybe manifestos just aren't for me. I just hated how, like, preachy it was.
Again, it's kind of the point.
I know it is. Unless I just don't really agree with communism anyways, but whatever.
Chris, no matter how many boots you lick, they'll never love you.
Whatever. I've got a couple other books that I'm going to hash out this summer.
You should read both volumes of Karl Marx's Capital.
No.
If you like the Communist Manifesto, you'll love Capital. Arguably his most seminal work.
Chris, if you really want, I picked up a book I've been meaning to read if you want to read it together this summer.
What is it?
It's like The Ideologies of Maximus Aurelius.
Kind of interesting.
Like the guy from Gladiator?
Yep, like the guy from Gladiator.
There's a class that I was thinking about taking in the next coming year. I'm pretty sure they do it on a yearly basis where they do like a history of Rome.
Oh, that's cool.
So I'm looking into
that. You could just read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire.
It's not the same, Zach. It's not the same. I've got a bunch of books here on, like, America that I'm planning on reading this summer.
Define on America.
The revolution specifically.
Yeah, but from whose point of view?
Gordon Wood.
So it's not about the JFK assassination?
It's no, believe it or not, the JFK assassination wasn't the revolution of American history.
Arguably it might be.
No. I'm reading his book called The Radicalism of the American Revolution and how that was a truly radical revolution compared to other revolutions of past at that point.
You want to borrow some of my books on UFOs?
I mean, I've offered to do a book club like 3 different times with you guys on Infinite Jest, and I've gotten declined.
I'm not doing it.
I've been. Do you want to read every time?
Do you want to read a book about how AOC, Bernie Sanders, and other socialists are ruining America? I saw that at Borders.
I would love to read that.
I'm interested. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm definitely interested. I don't know how to feel about AOC.
I don't like her.
I don't know how to feel about her. I feel like I would like her if I met her, but just, I don't know. I don't know if I like her or not.
I'm not saying, like, I don't like her policies, but, like, her, I don't think I like her personally.
I could see myself enjoying sitting down, you know, having a meal with her, a couple other people around, decide to make a night of it. You know, go to the trampoline park, have a great time. I bet she'd be a fantastic time. But I don't know how to feel about her professional presence.
I love her professional presence.
Based on the tapestry Chris, that's on your ceiling, I would think you would.
Chris, would you vote for Caitlyn Jenner if you lived in California?
Huh?
Would you vote for Caitlyn Jenner if you lived in California?
No. No way.
As governor? No.
No freaking way, dude. She's ridiculous.
I think that that is the most interesting political race that's ever going to happen.
I'm curious.
Ever? I think it's going to be the most interesting ever. Because, like, you got it's quite possibly the wildest conundrum. She's starting to unveil, like, these what seem to be more right-leaning policies that she thinks. But yet, if you don't like Caitlyn Jenner, then you're transphobic. But yet, if you support transgender, then you also support transphobia. And it's hilarious. The world is crumbling around us.
I don't know much about that whole race. I just knew that she was running, and I was like, this cannot end well, right? Like, I don't see a good scenario coming out of it. Either Caitlyn Jenner wins, and then we have Caitlyn Jenner as a politician in the United States.
I mean, could she really be worse than Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I don't know, but I just can't.
I always forget that he was like the only celebrity I approve of being a politician was the governor of Minnesota, who was
Steve Ventura.
Jesse Ventura is the only one I approve of. No, nothing. Who
also
about
is very big into conspiracy theories.
Fucking gosh, dude, this just keeps getting better.
Literally hosted a show called Conspiracy.
We're working in a good world. We got a good Earth, guys.
I can't wait until Alex Jones runs for governor of someplace.
I'll move to that state to vote for him.
Where does he live?
He lives in California.
Yeah.
Good luck. My fucking gosh.
What a runoff. Caitlyn Jenner versus Alex Jones.
I think Alex Jones comes off as crazy because he knows things that the rest of us couldn't possibly perceive.
It could be true.
I think he knows things.
Could be true.
I want to know, how do you think that Alex Jones knows things?
His dad,
like, what
works
do you
the
think?
CIA.
How? What sources do?
There's
what,
there,
sorry,
that,
what sources Alex Jones has that others do not?
I just think he's tapped in.
He's got a guy somewhere, someplace that knows something.
He knows.
Yeah, wasn't his dad like a CIA agent? So he like claimed that he like overheard stuff, and his dad would tell him things.
Yeah.
So there you go, Chris, right from the source itself.
Okay, so maybe he knows stuff about the past, but like current day affairs, what gives him any right to comment on any conspiracy theories of the current? I'm sorry, I just don't back Alex Jones. I can't get behind that guy. Like, how ridiculous. Normally, I'm one to enjoy the overzealous. To put it kindly.
No, he's bizarre, but I wouldn't be surprised if he knows a thing or two about something. Maybe not everything he claims, but
I think he's right about everything.
He definitely might be right about aliens.
Alex Jones is today's Walter Cronkite. Put it on the books.
I mean, the dude is banned from Twitter from spouting the truth, so.
What specifically did it get before, or was it just like a collection of different things he said?
No, he got banned for the Sandy Hook stuff, but
okay,
he's probably wrong about that.
But the libtards are out to get him, so.
But he's also admitted that he's wrong about that. So I mean, give the guy his Twitter back. That's all I'm saying.
That's true. That's true.
It's kind of dumb they took him off though.
Yeah, how else are we going to know the truth now?
Right?
You're going to have to go to his website, Infowars.com.
Are you plugging that? Was that an official plug?
Plug. I'd work if he came to me and said, "I want you to run Infowars.com." I absolutely would. I wouldn't think twice about it.
No way.
I would think twice about it.
I might send him a DM, see if he needs an intern.
I'm interested in individuals like that, but there's no way I'm interested in what they say. I'm just interested in what makes them say what they say.
You gotta think like,
or
I guess even if I don't agree with Alex Jones about anything, think about how wild of an experience it would be to intern for him. And you'd be like, "Yeah, I interned for Alex Jones."
What if he's just
this
like
is what it was like?
Guy. Like off
obviously,
camera.
In my shirt pocket, I would cut a little hole and I'd put a GoPro in there and I would film everything.
What if he's just like, "Hi, how are you? My name is Alex Jones. It's nice to meet you." He wears like glasses and he pushes them up like a nerd because he has like the tape wrapped around him and everything. And he's just like, "Oh, your name's Zach? Well, really great to meet you, Zach. Really great to have you at InfoWars."
So he's Francis McDormand from Fargo?
Basically.
So he's a South Park character?
I was thinking more SpongeBob when he turns normal, but yeah.
I think Alex Jones is so intense, Chris, he'd make you shit where you stand.
I wonder. I wonder what meeting him in person would be like. There are very few people that I can imagine myself standing in front of and being like, "Oh my gosh, like this person's here." But I picture Alex Jones being in the same room as me and me actually caught off guard and being like, "Oh my gosh, Alex Jones is like in the same room. That's crazy." Wouldn't know how to handle myself. Not out of excitement, just like sheer shock that I'm in the same space as him.
Yeah, I mean like Alex Jones and Brendan Fraser would be the two. Act around this guy?
Louis C.K. used to be on that list too, but I think now I just hang my head in shame.
He's a little problematic.
Yeah.
I don't know. Allegedly. Do people even care about that anymore?
I don't know. Why don't you post a pro-Louis tweet on Twitter and see what happens?
Might be a nice litmus test.
Probably would. Kind of interesting, how that stuff works out. Like
it's
this
kind
time,
of disturbing how that stuff works out.
This time truly heal all wounds?
Well, Aziz Ansari did another stand-up, and there's a new season of Master of None, so...
Wait, is there?
I would say people are moving on.
I don't even remember what that situation was.
I don't remember the specifics.
I don't remember the details either. I just remember that Master of None was not very good. So
I like Master of None. Eric Wareheim was in it. I thought it was funny.
He's funny, but... Because have you watched any of the Tim Heidecker stand-up?
No, I can't do it. Wasn't there one of his things where he's like legitimately running for political office?
Well, there's that. There's like all of his stand-up. So like there's his stand-up, but then the entire stand-up act itself like is a bit as well. So there's one that he released last year where he's like acting as though he's like a coked out stand-up comedian from the 80s. Like that's his entire set acting like that.
That's incredible.
He like steps up to the mic and he knocks the mic over. And he's like trying to pick it up and he's fumbling with it and he can't. So he just picks it up and he just throws it off stage.
Oh man, he's a crazy dude. I gotta watch that though, cause like I remember I used to have a love-hate relationship with their show. What was that called?
The Tim and Eric Show?
Yeah. Oh, well, I should have guessed that. I had a very hard time with the Tim and Eric Show at points, but, like, certain bits just got me, dude. Like, I sit down when I pee. Yeah, I sit down when I pee. And there was the spaghetti bits. Absolute riots. Gosh, I gotta get into that again.
Yeah, their show's very bizarre. But it's one of those things, it's very hit or miss. Some of it's really funny and then other stuff's not. Like, some of it's too bizarre to be funny, but...
Nah, I get you.
Not everyone can hit all the time.
It's true. And if you're going as crazy as they are, you're bound to just do some stuff that's just not very funny.
You're bound to, like, lose someone somewhere.
Yeah.
But when it hits, my man.
That's why you do it, for when it hits.
You can't have 100% success rate. You're not fucking Chris Angel. Mind freeze.
You think he has 100% success rate? Didn't he, like, light maybe himself on fire trick. For his mom's birthday?
Maybe one trick that Chris Angel has done that you've been like, that ain't shit.
I want to know how, like, Chris magicians man. Feel about Chris Angel Mind Freak.
They hate him.
Why? Is it just because, like, he gained too much of an audience, or, like...
I think you could... It's like David Blaine. There's a lot of things that David Blaine does that I don't know that you could call magic. It's just, like...
Like him shoving that, like, metal, sharp metal thing through his arm?
Or, like, encasing himself in ice, like, for 10 hours? Like, I don't know if you can call that magic. That's just, like, a test of human endurance.
Okay, hold on. That's not just a test of human endurance. Did he have, like, an oxygen pack or anything?
I don't remember what... Or he was, like, underwater for,
like, I know so he had, like, and... the bubble. The bubble, like, the water bubble thing was weird. He had, like, an oxygen mask or anything, and he stayed inside the bubble for, like, 3 days. I don't understand how that's magic. But if that man encased himself in ice for 10 hours without an oxygen pack, that's magic. He came out alive.
It's shit like that. They're like, that's not what magic is about. That's why they don't like him.
Yeah. And it's like,
that's why they don't like David Blaine.
Well, Chris Angel's in the same vein. He just does shit like that that they argue, like, isn't magic.
Penn and Teller's real magic. They're real magicians.
Dude, fuck Penn and Teller. I'd rather watch David Blaine.
I gotta say, though, I went on YouTube the other day, and one of the first videos to pop up after I deleted all my history just to refresh the videos that would pop up, it came up as Penn and Teller's, like, their TV show where they try and catch people and how they do their tricks. That show is dynamite.
Sure.
Exciting stuff, man.
I don't really care about traditional magic tricks. I only care about card tricks.
How's that going, by the way?
I only care about the payoff, the prestige.
Now, the more I think about the ending of that movie, the more I think of how ridiculous it actually is.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's completely ridiculous.
Like, at the time, I remember watching that and being like, this is like super intricate and, like, super cool, but the more I think about it, I'm like, okay, I totally get Christian Bale's side, but Hugh Jackman,
I mean, the dude clones himself and kills himself every performance. Like,
I know,
yeah, that's a little insane.
I get the dedication, you know, I get how somebody could be driven to that point, but I don't understand why they had to go, or why Christian Bale had to, or Hugh Jackman had to go as far to figure out as to how to clone himself.
I don't know. This is what I don't understand. Why does he have to keep them all in a warehouse? Why aren't you, like, disposing of them?
That is the one thing that's always, like, why do you keep these? Is it, like, a memento? Like a...
No, that's a different Christopher Nolan movie.
Yeah. It's just, like, a token of all the tricks you've done. Like,
oh, my fucking gosh. I just didn't understand it. Well, I understood it, but I just remember thinking about it the other day and being like, okay, why did the movie have to go to a place of cloning himself?
Because the double didn't work.
It was the ultimate of, like, living out your act. To literally live and die.
I will say, like, Christian Bale, like, in his clone, like, twin brother, that's a good twist.
Because what's cool about it is that it all stems from the moment of the guy with the fishbowl trick. Mm-hmm. Of, like, them thinking that the way he pulls it off is by living your life that way. So then each person just does something more extreme of, like, living your life around magic.
I gotta rewatch that
again. But that's what's cool about it. the practicality of it is definitely insane and wild, and I agree. But
because it's like the whole movie is based around like being practical, and how is he doing this through practical means? And then all of a sudden, boom, the dude's cloning himself.
But I do think like that is a cool idea of like each person taking that to an extreme.
Oh, I agree with you. Anyways, what book are we reading this summer? Because this book club's happening, whether it's Infinite Jest or not.
Meditations, The Life of Marcus Aurelius.
Is that what we're doing?
Or it's not a life. It's just he kept a journal of like his thoughts about the about life in the world and ruling and whatnot, and then that became Meditations.
Let me read the first couple pages on Google on their book preview and see what I think of it.
Okay. You do that, and I'm going to lead us into Mortal Kombat, directed by Simon McQuoid, currently streaming on, well, maybe expiring soon, on HBO Max.
Well, premiered April. Did premiere.
May 23rd, May 20-something.
Okay, so you got a month.
You got a month.
Okay, a couple weeks left to catch you on HBO Max. Let's see. The stars, Louis Tan, Jessica McNamee, Josh Lawson, Joe Taslim, Hiroyuki Sanada, and the plot synopsis is MMA fighter Cole Young seeks out Earth's greatest champions in order to stand against the enemies of Outworld in a high-stake battle for the universe. What did you guys think of Mortal Kombat?
I will say, for the first 8 or 9 minutes, I was thinking like, oh my god, this could be a 6 out of 5 if it stays like this. But let me tell you, it drops pretty quickly. I did not like Mortal Kombat.
I'm right there with you, man.
I thought the performance by the main actor was fucking god awful.
I'm with you, man.
Awful, except for Coda. Was that his name?
I did not like the Asian banker from The Dark Knight.
Oh, yeah.
He was terrible. What's the guy's name? Like Kano or whatever? He sucked. The brief moments of like extreme violence and gore I liked, but they were so sporadic that when they happened they felt out of place. And I just, for a movie called Mortal Kombat about a tournament where people are supposed to fight to the death, there's a lot that happens to avoid actually having Mortal Kombat the tournament that they fight to the death.
That was a big problem with me.
I didn't understand that choice at all. Like, at all.
I think they were setting themselves up for a second one. That's all I think was happening.
Well, Johnny Cage.
That's definitely coming.
I saw that poster at the end.
I think my biggest problem with Mortal Kombat is that...
What happened to Scorpion at the end?
Dude, I don't know. I forgot everything about this movie.
They led it to believe that Sub-Zero was coming back. Right? And then Scorpion's just like, see ya. And then he just pieces. Did he go back to hell?
Couldn't tell you, man.
I will say the one aspect of this movie that I did like was Sub-Zero. I thought stuff was cool.
Actually, yeah, the part where he the guy shoots the gun and then he slows the bullet down, like that was creative. Like I think the best part in the entire movie was when it's like you see it in the trailer is when he cuts the guy, freezes his blood, and then uses it as a dagger.
That was
like,
cool.
That was definitely really fucking cool. And then the other part that I really liked was when they pin the guy on the ground and the guy throws his hat to the ground and makes it spin like a saw blade.
I do think the best scene of the movie is the opening scene.
Yeah, but I think the biggest problem with Mortal Kombat is that a lot of the filler stuff is, you know, bound to just be really plot heavy to explain the story, move things along, develop super artificial relationships. So really what you're there for is the fights, and I just didn't think the fights were all that interesting at all. They felt like really uninspired and just super dated. Like nothing honestly felt nearly as interesting as anything like you might see in, like, I don't know, John Wick or like shit, even The Matrix, for crying out loud. And that's almost 30 years old.
Not to mention there is no Mortal Kombat.
And the fact that there's literally no Mortal Kombat.
What'd you guys think of, like, the brief little video game references? When, like, Kato pulls the heart out, he's like, oh, Kato wins!
Oh, they felt pretty on the note. I mean, I don't really know a lot about Mortal Kombat, so if I'm picking up the references, they're obviously pretty heavy-handed and on the nose, so...
I like the first couple. I thought it was funny. But then, once he was... Once Scorpion was like, get over here, I was like, oh, come on. He speaks English for one sentence, and then all of a sudden he goes back to speaking Japanese. Like, fuck off. Here's
where I knew that I was kind of out on this movie. So, whatever the African-American gentleman's name is.
Cyborg?
Yeah, Cyborg. He comes up to, what's his name? The main character.
I don't remember.
Fucking Lyoto Machida.
Yeah, Lyoto Machida.
Comes up to him, and he's like, well, that's a nice tattoo. And he's like, no, it's a birthmark. Perfectly positioned in the shape of a dragon in a circle. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That is like a super odd trend in movies like these, where it's people have a very obvious like marking or something, and then they just shrug it off as a birthmark.
Like, never once did you think to yourself, like, man, that is perfectly shaped like a dragon. That's such a strange birthmark.
I feel like I chalk it up to be like, I was probably branded as a baby and just don't remember it, because that's what it looked like.
I am getting the sense that all of these Warner Brothers movies that are being released to HBO Max, Warner Brothers kind of started being like, maybe these aren't that good. And so, we'll just, release them to HBO Max to just kind of like, you know, here's some of our stuff. Some things that we think will bomb in theaters. Here you go.
Do you think Dune, though, would bomb in theaters?
Yes, I do think Dune will bomb in theaters.
Or...
I don't know, it's got Hollywood's love child, Timothy Chalamet, in it.
I think maybe that's
mass audience appeal.
I think it's kind of tough given the time frame that we're in. Like, I mean, even if Christmas time, people are more vaccinated out and about, like, I still think there's going to be hesitancy to go to out in public like this. Maybe not, I don't know, hard to say. But I would think Dune would be a big draw, a Christmas time movie.
No.
Not the rumors. The onset rumors are not good, my friend.
Oh, what's the onset rumors? I haven't heard these.
Well, there's pressure to finish the film. Danny Villeneuve wanted to do more than one film, and the studio saying no, so they're forcing him to cram things into this one.
Mm.
It's not looking good. It's David Lynch all over again.
I was about to say, is this movie cursed or something? Like, is this going to go down in history as a cursed attempt?
It's allegedly. This is the third time it will have been made.
And third time it's allegedly going to bomb.
Well, technically, isn't it only the first? It's only the second time it's been made.
That's true. Jodorowsky's never got released, but
wouldn't that just kind of add to it, though?
Definitely. It's almost like Terry Gilliam's Don Quixote. It's not gonna happen.
Well, that did happen.
Yeah, but not without some major mishaps for 40, 50 years, however long it was. So maybe Dune's just like that. We got another 30 years to go before it can be done. I don't know. I hope that's not the trend, because I would be bummed if Dune and, like, The Matrix... Well, I guess I don't have super high hopes for The Matrix 4, but I'm still curious.
I think that's why Matrix is going to be successful. It's because everybody's realizing that it's just like a sad attempt at like some sort of cash grab, and they're going to be like not going to it with high hopes, and then they're going to be like, this is surprisingly good.
I don't know. I just So, no other studio but Warner Brothers, right, has done this, right? They're, like, releasing their movies to a service right. like this. Like, Disney's not right. doing it. And you got to think, like, Disney's not doing it because they know their movies will make money. Right. If they just hold off and put them in theaters. So, you got there's some piece of Warner Brothers that must not really believe in. Like, they could have picked any of their movies to release today, but this is the slate of them that we got. And so far, none of them have really been like, wow, that was amazing.
I guess I don't understand why they would still put it in theaters then.
They're good moneymakers, though. I thought I heard that Mortal Kombat did pretty well.
Like, beyond it being just on HBO Max, it's in theaters, too. So I don't understand why. Okay,
but you can't really take that into account because not normal circumstances.
Well, no, but they still have to spend money to get it into theaters.
I gander a guess that these movies are only doing as well as they are on a streaming service because there's nothing else.
I mean, I'm sure Warner Bros. Was banking on that, too.
I'm willing to bet that the vast majority of people that watched on a streaming service would not pay to go see it in a theater.
I would. I
might have seen Mortal Kombat in the theater.
I would have seen it if I hadn't watched it on HBO Max.
I definitely
just
would have.
Because it has that name recognition. Yeah.
I definitely would have seen Kong vs. Godzilla in the theater.
That one I could see being a moneymaker. Well, not really, because Godzilla King of the Monsters tank, but, like, again, that movie sucked ass, so that's probably, we'll just toss it to the streaming service.
I don't know what he's talking about, Chris. I thought King Kong vs. Godzilla was pretty good.
I agree. Could not agree with you more.
But what Mortal Kombat is lacking, Kong vs. Godzilla made up for with its cool fight sequences. Am I right, Chris?
Yeah. I mean, like, at least they were creative. Like, even if it was a little, like, the plot was a little far-fetched, even though it was completely understandable.
Did you watch the Red Letter Media video, Chris?
I didn't end up watching it, no.
They can't recount what the plot is. They try to, and they can't.
How many beers deep were there?
I was thinking about that. It can't be that hard to recite the plot, right?
So, like, they're going about, like, the events of the movie, and they have to, like, stopping. Like, they're trying to think about how what had happened before led to that. It's a hilarious video.
I mean, I the only thing that's not really explained is how, like, Kong got captured.
How he was subdued to go into the boat?
No, how he was, like, captured in the dome. That's the only thing that was not explained.
No human being has ever actually made it into the Hollow Earth, but yet they're so confident that these vehicles will get them there that they just go for it anyways, even though it's never been done before.
Nobody went to the moon before we got to the moon, Zach.
It's true. It's true, Zach.
Only comparable, Chris.
You didn't think about
how is it not comparable? You're right, because shooting off into outer space and getting to another fucking massive rock is completely different than going through a switch in gravity. That's fucking crazy, yeah. Right?
Zach, come on.
That's pretty crazy.
Whatever.
We're not talking about Kong versus Godzilla. We reviewed that in episode 102.
It's too bad.
This is Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I wasn't really a
fan
of
it. And it sucked just as bad.
It was not very good. I don't even remember the music for it. Did it have classic Mortal Kombat cues that I didn't pick up on?
Like, very subtle ones. Like, it had the Mortal Kombat, dun-dun-dun-dun. But that was, like, the outro song. And then I think they had maybe once throughout.
Who did the score? Was it Mark Mothersbaugh?
No idea. Danny Elfman.
Oh. Elfman?
It sounded like Elfman.
The Elfman lives?
Of course he lives. He never dies. He's timeless.
Cole Young, Zach, by the way. That's the main character's name.
That's right. Cole Young.
So, I think it would have been more interesting instead of, like, if why did he have to be an MMA fighter?
I also just find it, like,
it just feels so, like, lazy. Like, oh, the MMA fighter that fights more.
Would you rather have him be, like, a capoeira fighter?
I wish he was a fucking grocer at Hanford. And he's got this weird tattoo that people talk about. And he's like, nah, man, it's just the birthmark. I'm going to go fucking cut up some deli meat. And then, you know, a big four-handed guy comes in, starts smashing up the bread case. He fucking unlocks his arcana, and they have it out in the deli. What's so crazy about that?
Okay, this Cole Young guy looks to be about 30. He's taking amateur fights for $200, and his wife is just like, you need to follow your dream. Like, fucking give it up, dude. Like, it's not going to happen for you.
I think he's 26.
Yeah, I mean, you're right on the cusp, but you're probably not going to happen for you.
He's steroiding it up big time.
Well, yeah, let me just take fights last minute for $200. Like, that doesn't happen. You get more money for taking a last minute fight.
I don't like the innocent kind of humble hero anymore. I want them to pull up on some guy who's like.
Then you would love Psycho Gore, man.
I just want some guy who's like cracked out or some shit, and he's just like, "Hey man, what do you mean I'm gonna do Mortal Kombat? What are we talking about, man?"
Exactly, the fucking deli guy at Hannaford. Exactly, thank you.
Hey, can I get you some provolone cheese on sale today? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got this dragon burn mark on my body. Weird, had it since I was a baby. Weird.
You're like the dad from Friday.
That's who I'm trying to be. That's my inspiration for that.
What's that movie where he does that, like, constantly?
Was it Friday?
No.
Little Nicky? Friday After Next?
Yeah, it's Little Nicky.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Because what is it? Is it Little Nicky giving him the devil eyes? And he's like, oh, you trying to give me the crazy eye? And he does it back to him. Yeah, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. I don't understand the decision to not actually hold Mortal Kombat.
Because they're saving that for the second one. Because Mortal Kombat hasn't happened yet. This is all precursor fighting. Because conflicts aren't off the record.
Well, aren't they trying
to understand the arbitrary rules that they have set up so that, like, they can stop Mortal Kombat from happening? Like, I don't. That wasn't explained at all.
I was definitely missing that. Like, why they didn't want the fights to happen.
So that they would have an automatic victory.
But, like, so there are rules that the ancient one set up. They don't explain what those rules are.
But the ancient ones don't say that you can't win by forfeit by killing your enemies before him?
Apparently.
I don't get it.
Plus, they, like, didn't they, like, kill everybody? So who was going to be in the Mortal Kombat? Like, who's going to fight in Mortal Kombat?
You're asking the right questions here, Jake.
I would say, in theory, no one. Which was the point.
And I mean, even all the villains are done. Like, didn't they kill everybody?
Not, Sub-Zero's coming back. I don't care what anybody says.
What's the guy's name?
Kato? No, Goro.
Goro.
I mean, he was cool. I didn't think, like, the CGI was that good, but he's a cool character.
Almost bordering on Dwayne The Rock Johnson from Mummy Returns. Almost.
Why wouldn't they do, like, these Nintendo 64 games are very common to do, like, mashups, like a Mortal Kombat Scorpion King mashup, where Scorpion King could be a playable character, so he could show up in the movie.
Question, would you play an open-world Scorpion King game?
Yes.
As the Scorpion King or yourself?
As the Scorpion King.
Absolutely.
As Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Scorpion King, voiced, acted by Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Dude, yes. This is like the perfect game for me.
Yeah, I'm playing that game for sure.
Probably the only game I'd play.
I pay, you know, $80 to get the special edition. Like, I'll take the steelbook, box, set, whatever you need me to.
I want
$120 signed poster. I'm on it.
$120 for the little gold bracelet collector's edition that you can wear? Oh my
gosh, yeah. Are you kidding me? That's like, if I could have that gold bracelet, my life would be complete.
What's the most you would pay for a limited edition Scorpion King game to get a gold bracelet like that? I think mine's $200.
I would about to say $200, $250.
Or $350.
I'll say $199.99 before tax.
I'm looking up the bracelet right now.
The bracelet of Anubis? You think they just sell them that on eBay?
Somebody's selling one on Etsy for $100. Of course,
yeah, how much is the real bracelet of Anubis?
Gosh, I have no idea. I wish. Is this plastic and they're selling it for $100? 3D printed. That's why. Fucking can't do scorpions, though. Scorpions scare the shit out of me.
Well, that's why you have to be the king of them.
I know. That's what I'm saying, is if I had the bracelet, I would never have to be scared again.
Yeah, I don't feel much like talking about Mortal Kombat anymore. 2 stars for me.
2 for me.
I'll go 2.
Very disappointing.
Yeah, very disappointing, indeed. I want to move on and talk about some other cool stuff that I watched.
You guys watched the new Fast and Furious trailer?
No, but no. I'd see that over at Spotlight, they're showing the Fast and the Furious 1 in theaters again.
What's the
name? I need to go to the theater for that. But
what's the name of the new Fast and Furious movie?
Fast 9.
When do you think they're going to do a Fast and Furious movie called He Had a Fast Car?
Never.
An ode to Tracy Chapman.
Exactly.
So, okay, so this is Fast 9. So obviously Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw does not count as one of the official Fast and Furious movies, so that means it's not canon.
I don't think so.
This is getting out of hand.
But I can't speak on the canon of the Fast and the Furious verse.
One of these days, if we do the Twilight, however many movies, can we do the Fast and the Furious movies?
That's 9 movies.
That's a lot. Yeah,
we'll do a 2-parter.
They're gonna keep going though.
At least the Twilight movies, that's 5. You could knock that out in a weekend.
And it ends. Yeah.
A miserable weekend? Oh my gosh, I don't know what you're talking about. All I'm saying is that this summer, my schedule is going to be wide open as far as movie watching goes. So we're going to do the Twilight trilogy for some fucking reason.
If there are anything.
You keep saying the Twilight trilogy, but there's 5 of them.
There's 5?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pentilogy.
Are you shitting me?
We're going to do all 10 Friday the 13th movies.
The 10 movies that we chose for Steven Spielberg. The Twilight Pentilogy, or however the fuck you said it. And then all the Fast and the Furious movies on top of our sports bracket. We've got a busy summer, guys.
Yeah, the sports bracket we got to get to.
Very busy summer, indeed. All I gotta say is if Twilight is anything like the Hunger Games, we're in trouble.
I mean, it's got Kristen Stewart, so I mean, it's gotta be better than that.
I don't know. We'll see.
Big J Law over Kate Stu any day.
I don't understand. I don't understand like the whole thing in movies about like the plain girl that gets the hot guys. I don't get it.
It's because you're not the hot guy.
Or because her plain blood girl. Is just so enticing.
Like, I get it. I guess I get it in theory, but then, like, when you see it done out in the movie, it's like, nobody would love this person. I'm sorry.
Well, that's rude.
I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, that's harsh.
I'm sorry.
Nobody
I'm sorry.
Would love you.
Like, I'm sorry Katniss Everdeen, but I would never follow that woman in the battle, ever. I would never lay down my life for her.
I get it. I do get it. I remember thinking that after I watched Divergent. Like, it wasn't like I didn't think that you will never be loved, but...
Well, yeah, well, Shailene Woodley just sounds like a terrible leader.
I just remember
sitting
there...
I wouldn't follow her anywhere.
I'd look at these people and be like, I don't understand why they picked you to be, like, the head of this giant organization. Like, there are plenty of people here who have years of training compared to you, and yet you're the one?
I know. Well, it's like, Bella, like, I get it. Like, you've got a mysterious dark side, but you reek like tuna fish. Why is anybody into you?
What? Reeks like tuna fish? Where did that come from?
I don't know. Doesn't she smell funny? Doesn't Edward make a comment that she smells funny?
Edward,
what
Edward.
Does he know?
He really wants to suck her blood or some shit. She smells like tuna.
Yeah, he like makes a comment about her smell, and then she's really subconscious and is like smelling herself.
Yeah, so there's something like that. Oh man, that was just a funny choice to pick tuna.
Too much tuna.
Big tuna. Anyways, got a busy summer ahead of us, guys.
I know. I just want to get to the sports bracket so we can watch Gridiron Gang and Friday Night Lights.
You got to make the sports bracket first. Like, that's going to take a minute.
That's going to take us some time.
That is. Whew.
That's an afternoon. Like, because, like, think about how many different sports there are to cover. Because, like, you're not just thinking of, like, the big four, you know? Like, basketball, baseball, football. I'd imagine those would be, like, the big three. And then we had the other category, but there's so many other sports to include, like Air Bud. We got to include all of the Air Buds in the
consideration. Oh, God. No, we can just do a separate Air Bud episode.
An Air Bud bracket?
Like, where do you put the Mighty Ducks 2?
There's a lot of good hockey ones, too. Miracle?
I think you should just make the fourth one hockey.
I know, but then you're missing boxing.
Well, what are the all-time boxing movies?
Million Dollar Baby, Rocky, there's Raging Bull.
Okay, fine, you made your point.
There's three off.
Okay, well, okay, let's think about this. Could you really name, like, six great baseball movies? I don't think you can.
Major League, Major League 2.
Yeah, well, we're obviously not going to include sequels. You got to pick one.
Okay. Major League, A Field of Dreams, A League of Their Own.
The one with Tom Hanks. A League of Their Own is the one with Tom Hanks.
Moneyball.
Bad News Bears.
Bad News Bears.
And that counts. Bad News Bears counts.
The Benchwarmers.
What's the one with Dennis Quaid?
I watched that
the rookie?
The other day. Huh?
What's the one with Dennis Quaid, the rookie?
Yes. Field of Dreams. Did you say Field of Dreams?
That's Kevin Costner.
I said Field of Dreams already.
Hardball.
With Chris Hardball? Matthews?
Keanu Reeves.
Is that a baseball movie? I don't think I've heard of it. I know The Replacements. Oh, Chris is frozen.
What am I saying, baby? Mr. 3000?
Yeah, there you go. So
I
don't know,
I feel like there is a sport. One of the big three, I think, could go. Because I just don't know if there's that many compelling movies within that sport.
Football is definitely a compelling category. Like, that's not budging.
Maybe the easiest way is just to think of the best sports movies in general.
64 of the best sports movies go head to head.
Just period. Maybe it's a lot of football. Maybe it's,
we decided on 64. Maybe not 64. Oh,
that's right. Well, that's how the March Madness tournament goes.
No, I mean, I'm in.
Maybe not I'm that.
In. That's going to take like literally all summer.
But you would obviously do like. You would have to do it the way the March Madness is set up. So you'd have the round of 64, then we would knock it down to 32. It would really only take you like 5 weeks. The first week, you just have to watch 64 movies.
Yes.
So if we do, well, here's if we do 60. If we watch all 64 movies, do we really have to watch 32 again the next time and then 16 again the next time?
Well, I guess that's true. You just watch them all and then you just have to take notes, I guess.
I don't even think you really – I feel like there's some of them that you wouldn't even have to watch.
So what's the point of putting them in there?
Well, I mean, like, when you get to, like, the number one seed versus, like, 16 seed, you know, if you're looking at Happy Gilmore versus A League of Their Own, do I really need to watch those movies to know that Happy Gilmore is going to move on?
He's right. He is right on that one.
Okay, well, here's a question. What's even a measuring stick? What is the measuring stick? Are you competing them based off like how it represents that sport? Are you just basing it off like what you think about the movie in general? What's the measuring stick?
Star rating.
Happy okay, Gilmore let's is not a get five, into this. Like, okay, but let's say you got Miracle and Happy Gilmore. Let's say they're both 5-star movies. Okay, then what? What like
you flip a coin?
There's got to be something that you're comparing.
Well,
I'm comparing effectiveness of what they're trying to do. So like does Happy Gilmore make me laugh more, or does Miracle make me feel more inspired?
Okay, but how do you compare that? There has to be like some.
Obviously, we can't judge it on how well it represents the sport because they would never let someone like Happy Gilmore in a professional golf tournament.
You create some sort of like 1 through 10 scaling system, and I'll fill one out for every single movie I watch.
I feel like there's just got to be some common ground. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. There just has to be something in the middle that everybody is thinking about so that you could like effectively rate it. And
what's the most mediocre sports movie you can think of?
Trouble with the Curve. Sorry, Clint Eastwood.
Okay, so.
Very mediocre.
We'll call it the Trouble of the Curve Scale. Or the Curve Scale.
Okay.
We'll call it the Curve Scale. Is it?
I think you could literally just call it Trouble with the Curve. Like, is it better than the curve, or does it have trouble with the curve, and then it's above or below?
Yeah, we'll call it the Trouble with the Curve. Emphasis on curve, and then it all depends like how far away from the curve is it? Is it higher than the curve? Is it lower than the
curve?
Okay,
so essentially, what you're suggesting is a. Trouble with the Curve versus podcast.
I mean, like, I guess.
Is it better or worse than Trouble with the Curve?
I guess so, yeah. But, like, how good is it? Like, how much better than Trouble with the Curve is it? Or how much worse than Trouble with the Curve was it? And then, like, based on that number, we determine which movie is better. But first, the first movie we all have to watch is Trouble with the Curve, so we have a fucking reference.
We have a barometer.
Yeah.
Next week review is Trouble with the Curve.
Yeah.
But did you guys see that they're making a Mighty Ducks show?
They
made a Mighty Ducks show that is available for you to watch right now?
Possibly on Disney Plus, yeah. I think it has all the original characters in it.
Is Coach Bombay in it?
Well, obviously doesn't
Except
have all
for
the
Goldberg.
Ones.
Except for Goldberg. He's a little he's in trouble right now.
Oh, he got arrested.
Yeah. For heroin.
Do you think they make a awesome. Joke in there? Like they go into prison and then just like see him behind bars and they're like, Goldberg.
I don't think they're gonna do that.
Yeah, this had one of those classic, like, oopsie moments.
Yeah.
The worst part is that Goldberg was, like, the best character.
Except for the girl who's from Bangor.
Who's the knuckle puck?
Oh, Kenan Thompson.
Okay, what was his character name, though?
Oh, shit.
Rick.
Is that what it was, Rick? Really, Rick?
I don't know.
No way.
Knuckle puck time.
He was a good character. Who played
the Bash Brothers?
The Bash Brothers were good. I liked them. Can we? What's the best Mighty Ducks movie?
Two.
Yeah,
that's the one where they go to the Olympics, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I do like the second one. I don't know if I've seen the third one.
The fuck on. Let me buy this shit. I can buy an Anubis bracelet for $145 right now.
Are you buying
it? A lot of money.
Let's just say I'm not deleting the tab.
This guy's flush.
They're selling it in black, too.
Why would you can't get it in black. That's not the bracelet of Anubis. No. It's just a dumb bracelet.
3D printed, not industrial, high quality 3D printers. Oh, okay, so then no. Oh, all 3D printed on industrial, high quality 3D printers. Oh, it's made out of plastic? No way. Give me a metal one. Or nothing.
Give me one made out of bones.
Give me one. Handcrafted by doing the Rock Johnson himself. I think he knows how to, like, do metallurgy.
Because have you been watching his TV show?
I didn't even know he had a TV show.
Sounds like something you would watch.
I've been watching a lot of stupid comedies this week.
Is it on Facebook Live?
Is it on Facebook Live?
I think so.
I'll look it up.
Mm. No, I have not been watching his show. I watched a bunch of his movies a couple weeks ago.
Which I was highly impressed by the way. Young Rock?
Yeah. This week I did some Nicolas Cage films and some Liam Neeson movies. Starting with Liam Neeson, I watched Clash and Wrath of the Titans. Then I watched Nonstop, and I watched The Commuter.
Did you do Clash and Wrath of the Titans as a double feature?
Not exactly. I watched Clash of the Titans Sunday night and then Wrath of the Titans Monday morning.
Okay, so it kind of counts.
So not really a double feature.
No, I guess
so. Interesting thing about Wrath of the Titans, there was a lot of stuff in that movie I actually thought was in the first one. Like the maze, I totally thought the maze was in Clash of the Titans.
You know what's crazy about his show? Like Dwayne The Rock Johnson's new show? It's called Young Rock. It just seems like another Everybody Hates Chris. And that show could also be called Young Rock.
Yeah.
You ain't lying.
Yep, yep. Did you guys watch anything this week? We're talking
sure about? Sure did.
I watched a couple things.
I'll start with from 1976. I watched Devil's Express, directed by Barry Rosen, which is kind of a blaxploitation horror movie. The most notable thing about this movie is that it stars a man who goes by the name of Warhawk Tanzania.
Nice. This is
probably one of the coolest things I've ever heard. Other than that, it's nothing to write home about. Warhawk Tanzania plays a... I think he's a detective? I don't know. Basically, he's a kung fu master, and there's an ancient evil in the subway that he has to fight.
In the subway?
Yeah.
It's like a little disappointing. The sandwich shop or like the train station?
Well, from 1976, because I don't think Subway existed then.
Look, I'll do the Google search.
Some pretty cool martial arts stuff. Like, he fights, like, 8 guys at a time, and it's pretty poorly edited to the point that you can tell he's not actually hitting them, but they react anyways.
Still sounds better than Mortal Kombat.
It's... If you're looking for some good kung fu, I recommend Devil's Express over Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Zach, do you want to talk Psycho Gorman?
We can. I have some other things before that.
Oh, okay.
I'll go.
Go for it.
I watched Your Highness on Netflix.
For fuck's sake.
It's awful. It's so
bad. That movie sucks.
I was at least hoping it would be kind of funny, but it is horrific.
Only the jokes that James Franco was molested are funny.
I just have a very hard time because Danny McBride makes out with your girl there.
Natalie Portman. Say her name.
Fair. I'm sitting there the whole time and I'm like, this is ridiculous. Like, this would never happen in a million years. Natalie Portman's not funny one time. She's not supposed to be, I don't think. But, like, I think a lot of where it fails is that, like, they all are trying to do accents in the movie of, like, how you would expect somebody who's doing a period piece to talk, and it does not work at all.
What is the premise of Your Highness?
They're James Franco and Danny McBride are brothers, and James Franco comes back with this woman who's been trapped in the tower, and they end up wanting to get married, but this evil wizard steals her, so now Danny McBride and James Franco have to go retrieve her, and halfway through the journey, they meet Natalie Portman, and it's just like weird, crazy stuff happens, and it's just not funny a lot of the time. It's like kind of funny, like the kind of humor you would expect from Danny McBride at multiple points, and it's kind of funny then, but other than that, it's not that funny.
I watched something that I think you should watch. I watched this on Hulu from 1993, starring Mike Myers. I watched So I Married an Axe Murderer. And so Michael Myers plays this, he's like an open mic poet, and he does these really, like, beatnik-type poems at open mic night where, like, it's very, like, exaggerated and just pretty funny. But basically the premise is that he meets this girl, and they, like, get married, and... there's a like a National Enquirer type magazine that's like talking about a serial killer named Mrs. X who's like killed 3 of her last husbands, and like some of the information starts to line up with Michael Myers' wife, and so he thinks that he's married an axe murderer. It's quite comical. He plays multiple roles, like, a lot of the time. He plays his own father, and it's he has a younger brother, and, the, like, Michael Myers, like, the father is always making fun of how big his head is. It's just hilarious. Chris, you might actually be offended by it. You shouldn't watch it.
Chris has a big head!
Whatever. Does he sing the song from Austin Powers?
Danny was in the air. Take me to the fair. Poetry is pretty good.
Poetry. All right. I'm interested.
Chris, I also watched a movie that I think you might like, starring Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. It's called Quick Change. It's from 1990, and Bill Murray plays... it opens up with him robbing a bank dressed in a clown's outfit. And him and 2 other people are in on it, and so they get away with the money. And so the rest of the movie is the police are trying to track them down, and Bill Murray and these other 2 people are trying to get out of town. But because they're kind of idiots and things go wrong, they get delayed and lost in the city, and they don't know where they are and can't figure out where they're going. And so it's they can't seem to make it to the airport. So the entire time, the police is figuring out more and more and more who they are. So it's kind of like a race against time to beat the cops at the airport to escape. And it's kind of funny. There's some pretty funny moments or and things that happen to them to delay them.
Sounds like an absolute hoot. I do love Bill Murray, though. I think he's one of the funniest men to ever live.
Yeah, I think you get it. I think you'd find it funny. So one of the things he tries to do to buy himself time is he asks in the beginning, he asks the hostage negotiator to bring him a monster truck as part of his demands. And so that's a pretty good vehicle
to ask for.
So that's pretty funny. And then they finally bring him a monster truck, and he's like, I don't know, that one kind of has the wrong body on it. It's not really what I'm looking for. He said that's kind of a shitty monster truck, so they demands another one.
It's awfully gaudy, don't you think?
No, it's pretty good. It just got recently released on Blu-ray for the first time, so when I saw the cover of Bill Murray in a clown's costume, I just blind bought it.
It's a good way to live.
It is pretty good.
Speaking of blind buys, you guys heard of this movie called Crazy Samurai 400 vs. 1?
Yes, I have.
I blind bought that, and I'm so excited to watch it. So the premise is one samurai versus 400. It's a 93-minute movie, and there's a 77-minute single-take action scene in it.
That's crazy cool.
Dude, that beats out 13 Assassins. Ooh, that sounds pretty dope. I have heard of it. I can't remember where I've seen that advertised on.
I mean, it's a terrible fucking name for a movie.
But yeah, what is it? Versus one.
If there's a 77-minute single-take action scene, that's going to be badass.
Yeah, definitely let me know how that... Oh, it's on Amazon Prime right now. I might have to check it out. Have you seen 13 Assassins, Zach?
No.
Because that one's got a pretty good... That one ends with... It's like... I don't know. It's something like... I don't know. 45 minutes to an hour. Not single take, but... Like one set piece that's... sword fighting, and it's pretty cool.
It's a lot of sword fighting.
Yeah, it is.
I will mention, since Jacob mentioned it last week, I watched Sasquatch, the documentary from this year.
Oh yeah, what'd you think?
I really liked it. I hate the 3-episode structure. I think it could have been one thing.
For sure.
I kind of like using that first episode as like a framing device to talk about Sasquatch as a whole before really like moving into the story. And I thought like the story was very interesting, and I guess the problem that I have with it isn't... Oh, there he goes.
Okay.
The problem that I have really isn't the movie's fault. Like, I mean, you can't really expect this guy to solve a 30-year-old cold case file. Like, but it just kind of seems to end on a wet noodle.
Which is my big takeaway, but
I think he says something that kind of like kind of drives it home, which is like, is he like one of these Sasquatch hunters where the next day he's going to find something that finally proves something and like going down that rabbit hole. So like it got to the point where it was like, he talks to that guy on the phone and was like, they had heard that he had killed someone because they had raped and murdered his daughter, and it was like, well, I didn't even have a daughter in 1993. So it was like he'd kind of hit a dead end. and I thought it was going to end there, and I'd be like, that's so stupid, like, to end it right there. But then he has that phone call with the guy that owned the cabin in 1993, and it's like, oh, shit. That's crazy.
Did he find Sasquatch?
You'd have to watch it, Chris. I'm not going to explain it to you.
I think it's worth the journey, honestly. Like, I really enjoyed it.
Simply yes or no would do.
The premise is that a investigative journalist is working on a pot farm in 1993 where he hears two guys say that three men were murdered by Sasquatch. And he's just investigating that tidbit.
Yeah, did he find it?
As you find out, it's not really about that.
Wouldn't be interested then, apparently.
I mean, I think the whole piece of, like, the whole thing about, like, pot growers in Mendocino County and all that stuff was really interesting, too.
Yeah, I honestly just really enjoyed going down the rabbit hole with him and just seeing what information turned up.
I just liked him. He's a cool guy. I'd hang out with him.
Hell yeah. I think it's really good, Chris. You should check it out.
Where is it?
Hulu.
Is it like a series?
It's three episodes.
How many 40. Minutes a piece?
Like 45.
It's not bad at all. I could bang that out in
no.
a week.
I would hope so. It's like episode every other day.
Yeah. This is a documentary that I watched on Hulu. Is nominated for an Academy Award for Best Documentary. It's called The Mole Agent. Have either one of you heard of this?
Thank God you didn't say My Octopus Teacher. That movie sucked.
I watched that like a month ago. It was called The Mole Agent, and it's about this. This elderly gentleman. And he sees an ad in the paper that says that they're looking to hire a spy, essentially, and they must be between the ages of 80 and 90. And you find out that his wife has passed away, and so he's kind of just looking for an excuse to, like, keep his mind occupied, so he responds. And basically what it is that there's this woman that believes that her mother is being mistreated at this local nursing home. So she hires an in private investigator who then tries to hire, like, an elderly gentleman who's going to go undercover in the nursing home and just report back on, like, what they're finding. So, you know, at first it's, like, kind of funny. It's like, you know, you're watching this guy get acclimated into a new nursing home. He's, like, making new friends. There's a couple of the women there that think he's really cute. So there's, you know, kind of some humor that plays on that.
Like bunnies.
But then as the documentary goes along, like, as he kind of gets to know people more, and just kind of hear their life stories and, you know, why they're there in the nursing home and whatnot, really the movie turns into sort of just about, like, growing old and becoming alone. And, like, you know, having the face of the end of your life alone because, you know, your family doesn't necessarily want to put up with you anymore. And so, you know, him being a recent widower, he really connects to a lot of these people about, like, feeling alone. And he becomes, you know, very grateful that he has, a good relationship with his daughter. And yeah, it's very touching. It was very heartfelt, and I really liked it. Rachel and I watched it together, and we both really liked it.
How can he be undercover if there's a documentary crew following his every move?
They did it set up where, like a couple weeks leading up to when they were going to plant somebody, they reached out to the nursing home and said they were, like, they wanted to do a documentary about new people, like, transitioning into a nursing home. So they said, like, the next person that gets in, we want to interview them. And so, of course, the next person in was going to be their plant. So that's kind of how the guys that they did.
Interesting.
But no, I really liked it. And it's pretty funny, like, trying to watch this guy. Like, he has no idea how to use a cell phone or anything. So there's a whole scene where this private investigator is trying to teach him how to use an iPhone and how to use FaceTime. That's pretty funny.
Sounds sad.
He gets voted the king of the nursing home prom, and it's pretty funny. No, it's great. It's great. It's very heartwarming, very touching, sad at times, you know. I really liked it quite a bit.
Oh, well, I can talk about something else that's very sad but heartwarming at times.
We're going to skip right over me. Is that how this is going to work?
This would be the 1986 film directed by George Pavlo, Rawhead Rex. This is about, it takes place in Ireland, and there is this monster is unleashed and wreaks havoc among the Irish countryside, and this demon is known as Rawhead Rex. So, it's not a great movie, but it has some charm. It's very clearly like a man in a suit, and the man in a suit does not move very creature like. He moves kind of like a human. So there's that. So one thing that apparently it's written by Clive Barker, and I guess he hated like the final movie, and so he kind of decided, like,
that's the Blink 182. Is that the Blink 182 drummer?
That's Travis Barker. Oh. Basically said, like, I hate handing off my scripts and they get ruined to people, so I'm just going to direct my own thing. And then a year later, he would do Hellraiser. So it's kind of important in that aspect, but there's a great scene where, like, this priest, I guess he's kind of responsible for bringing him back. He, like, Rawhead Rex is, like, his savior. And there's a scene that it's very wide. It's a wide-angle shot, Chris, so it's hard to kind of see what's happening. Mm-hmm. He's either, like, he, like, kneels down in front of Rawhead Rex, and Rawhead Rex is either pissing on him or jizzing on him, one or the other. Like, it's clearly, like, a liquid coming out at, like, washing over him, but it looks white from a distance, so it's like, what the fuck is going on?
It's pissing on him or jizzing on him.
Either way, I'm in.
Apparently Rawhead Rex is kryptonite, so to speak, is women, but that's not explored at all in the movie until it has to be in the final minute.
Sounds interesting. I like his name.
It's a great name. It is really good, Rawhead Rex. The Kino Lorber Blu-ray is only like $9.99.
There's a scene of him like wreaking havoc in a trailer park that's pretty good. He destroys some woman's house for no apparent reason. Just throws everything off the shelves.
He sounds like a gremlin.
He's a real jerk off, that Rawhead Rex.
He's jerking off onto the priest, that's what. All right, Chris, sorry, we didn't mean to skip over you. What did you watch, buddy?
I watched Tenacious D, A Pick of Destiny.
Nice.
That's what's so important, okay. A message. I love the end. I loved that. The rock battle they have with David Grohl as the devil. And I'm not gonna lie, I kind of actually like their song they make when they're fighting the devil.
To the Fire and Flames?
No, it was them sitting there and they're like, "You are the devil, we are the deed. We are the deed, 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 we are the deed." Ah, I don't know what it is about that song, but I actually kind of enjoy it for some reason. Whatever, dude. It was pretty funny, though.
It's no Dracula musical, but it's good.
There's no
Dracula. Have you never seen it before?
No, I've seen it, like, many a times. Okay. But it's one of those movies that, like, I always just love popping on because every single time I watch it, it's just stupid enough. It's like,
just overly stupid enough where I enjoy watching it every time.
What do you think was the most challenging aspect for you filming that movie?
Piece of shit.
The only thing I remember about that movie is that they have a driver's ed car, so there's brakes on both sides.
Yes.
The only thing I remember.
That's a weird I don't know why I remember about that.
I really would want to watch School of Rock again.
It's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
I've been wanting to revisit Nacho Libre.
Does that count as a sports movie?
Yes. It's wrestling.
Mexican wrestling.
Okay.
And if we're counting wrestling, obviously we have to include all three seasons of Hogan Knows Best.
Obviously.
So we can finally answer the question, does Hogan actually know best?
Of course he does.
The answer is yes.
Spoiler, he does.
Who's up? You want to do Psycho Goreman now?
Let's talk Psycho Goreman. Which I thought was a blast. Does this count as a 2021 release?
January 22nd, 2021.
That's its official? Okay, perfect.
Well, Chris, spoiler alert, Psycho Goreman is directed by Steve Kostanski. And it's my first 6 out of 5 for the year.
I praise.
Take that, Chris.
It's phenomenal.
It's about two children who discover like a tomb buried in their backyard, and they awaken Psycho Goreman. His actual name is something like something with nightmares.
He's nameless, but they said if you must call me something, like he's the Archduke of Nightmares.
Yeah, the Archduke of Nightmares. But the kids decide that that's a stupid name, so they settle on Psycho Goreman, or PG for short.
He looks like a creepy dude. Like I'm
struggling. Like there's aspect of this movie that I know Chris would hate. But I wonder if the humor is like stupid enough that Chris would actually love it.
Is it stupid in a way that like Evil Dead is stupid?
No, it's like it's kind of Tim and Eric like, where it either works for you or it really doesn't.
Okay.
Like here's an example of a joke that I think is my favorite and had me in stitches. There's a scene where she, like, the little girl hands him a magazine, and it has, like, this shirtless man on it, right? He's all cut and chiseled, and he looks at it, and he's like, little girl, I'm not interested in your hunky men. And then he looks at it, and he's just like, or am I?
Okay. This sounds pretty good.
Like, ridiculous costuming for the, like, interdimensional aliens and... I think the costuming for Psycho Goreman himself is awesome.
Where is it? Where was it made? Canada? What country is it from? Canada?
Canada.
Okay.
Made for less than $1 million.
Which blows my mind.
Like the costuming and like all that just on its own and like the practical effects. Chris, I know you love practical effects. Are amazing.
Fucking gosh.
Like, the effects are actually pretty good. Like, way better than I was expecting. There's some great stuff of, like... there's this great scene where... the first time Psycho Goreman, like, you know, is released, he, like, goes to this warehouse where he finds these, you know, three criminals. And what he does to this one guy is he, like... basically, like, paralyzes his body and, like, overtakes his mind. This guy's eyeballs are just, like, spinning in his head around in circles. And it's, like, he's, like, going to live an eternity in torture. And so, like, you know, he's, like, showing it to the children. He's, like, you know, this is what I'm going to do to you because the thing is that the little girl found an amulet. So as long as she is in possession of the amulet, she can control him because the amulet and him are one.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically she can just command him to do all these childish things. And so there's a scene where like this guy's eyeballs are spinning in circles, right? He's like talking about how it, like you know, this guy's going to spend forever in torture and torment. And so she bumps into him and knocks him over, and like his head splatters and kills him. And he's like, "You foolish girl, that was my masterpiece."
I love like the, so there's a scene like they dress him up in normal clothes, and he looks like they dress him up to look like Sam Neill from Jurassic Park. That's exactly what he looks like.
Yeah. Like the sunglasses, the red handkerchief, the straw hat.
Okay. I see what you mean. That sounds pretty funny. Where'd you watch this?
Blu-ray.
Yeah, bought it.
Oh, you guys bought it? No. How much was it?
I think it's a Shudder exclusive.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I think it might be on Shudder.
You have Shudder, don't you, Jake?
I do, yeah.
Oh, man.
Another service for you to mooch on?
I'm collecting what I can. Listen, I'm buying a service this summer, so
I really don't use it. The first time I used it was yesterday when I watched The Reef while I was doing some work at home.
How much does that cost?
I think it's like $6.
Yeah, it's like $5.99 a month. There's a great movie. There's a movie on there which I'm going to watch, but it's a Korean movie, I think. It's about a guy that gets, he like cleans pools, and the name of the movie is called The Pool. But like somehow the pool, he's cleaning this Olympic sized swimming pool, and it accidentally gets drained on him, so he's stuck in the pool, and there's an alligator with him in the pool.
Well, it's like a Life of Pi type situation.
Yeah, and he's like trying to survive from this like alligator or crocodile, whatever, that's in the pool with him. And he's like trying to escape.
Eat the alligator. That's your solution.
So that movie, like when I saw the trailer for that, had me super intrigued. So I've been meaning to watch it.
They have alligators in Korea?
I don't know.
I feel like I could kill an alligator.
I don't think you could.
I think I could too. How fast do they run?
Faster than you.
Like 15 miles an hour?
I could be
20 miles. 20 miles an hour?
Yeah, I can run that fast. I can outrun an alligator.
I used to be able to throw a football over the mountains. You think I can't outrun an alligator?
I can outrun it. I could kill an alligator is all I'm saying.
Oh, Zach, back to Psycho Gorman. How ridiculous was the fucking creature thing that their friend gets turned into?
I love, like, so there's so, think of, like the Power Rangers TV show, Chris. Like, that's the level of costuming, like, in this movie, where they're playing, like, that stupid game that they made up, and then it cuts to, like, that galactic panel, and they're just like, I really do not understand sports.
Crazy ball.
It sounds funny.
One, like, there's one creature design that's literally just like a dumpster of body parts.
I'm curious, what made you interested in this movie?
Where did I first hear about this?
I heard it on a podcast, or like, I saw, like, it was popular on my Letterboxd thing, so I clicked on it and read about it, and I was like, this sounds super weird.
I had seen, like, the poster somewhere, and I was like, what the fuck is that? Then I Googled it, and I just saw people saying pretty good things about it. And then there was no, like, theatrical release. I couldn't find it on demand, so I saw there's a Blu-ray release coming out, so I got that.
Do you know how much it made?
No, I don't.
No idea. I really liked it. I thought it was great.
I mean, it's the same guy who directed The Void, and if you haven't seen The Void is really good.
I have not seen The Void.
I wasn't super crazy about The Void, but I will give it, this guy is very ambitious and definitely accomplishes a lot with a very limited budget. I definitely will not take that away from him.
He also directed Leprechaun Returns.
did.
Or did he act in it?
No, he directed it.
He's got a very interesting filmography.
I want to watch Borgman.
Borgman, is that what you said?
Yep. Oh, and then the cop that like keeps trying to kill himself but is unsuccessful every time. That's just like a weird throwaway gag that's in there. That's really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a bunch of random shit, but I thought it was pretty funny. And the little girl is pretty good.
There's a musical sequence out of nowhere.
Yep. Yeah. I totally forgot about that.
Psycho Gorman plays the drums.
Yeah. That weird alien creature does the keyboard. It's pretty good, Chris. Check it out.
I'm planning on it at some point. It sounds funny. Just got to find it first.
I don't really have much else to say, talk about. Like, I've been working from home a lot lately, and I've been getting really bored of listening to like music all the time. So I've just kind of been throwing on movies in the background that either like I've seen before, like, you know, I watched National Treasure 1 and 2 back-to-back just to throw on. You know, I watched Power Rangers from 2017.
Oof.
Yeah, I can agree with that oof.
You know, just something to throw on. Like, I watched The Meg, watched all the Hunger Game movies.
I'm really interested by The Meg. Not, like, because I really want to watch it. I've just seen a lot of people online reference it. So is it as good as I assume it is based on how many people enjoy it?
I didn't think it was very good.
No?
It's okay.
It's not like bad though, right?
No, I wouldn't say it's boring at all. Like I don't mind it. Like, I liked it more than like The Reef, which I watched yesterday and it was kind of slow.
Okay.
I guess the last thing that I can mention, you know, this was kind of a long time in the making. I hadn't seen it in quite a few years. I'd put it within my top 50. There was a recent 4K release that is getting some backlash. So I rewatched the Blu-ray to see if it truly was worth upgrading to 4K. It's not. So I watched Richard Kelly's Donnie Darko.
Thanks for saving me $30.
And I still love Donnie Darko, but I have to admit, like, there's a point when watching that movie where it's such a slow burn, and then it's kind of wrapping up and is getting to the end where it has to like fill you in on so much stuff so that the ending makes sense, where it just was like info dump. Like, I'm kind of lost here, and I think it's fine. Like, the movie can still work without you really understanding it. And I don't think it's that hard to understand. People always talk about the movie that doesn't make any sense. But I don't think that's true. It does. But I still love Jake Gyllenhaal. He's great.
I remember the first time watching it being kind of lost.
I mean, just like the image of the rabbit alone. It's really good. And then, like, the image of, like that spherical thing, like, coming out of your body that's basically like, guiding you through, like, life and, like, all of your actions are predetermined. Like, that was a really cool visual. And I don't know. I think there's, like, a lot of stuff to unpack there. Patrick Swayze as a child predator, that was pretty good. I always forget about that.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. I think it would definitely be one of those I would definitely like to check out again, only because it's been so long. I definitely like the look of the rabbit.
That's the only thing I remember from that movie besides the rabbit is cha-up, guys.
It has this is a true fact, Chris. It's not a fake fact. It's a true one. This is Seth Rogen's first major motion picture where he has speaking lines. The first line of Seth Rogen's film career is him looking at Jenna Malone, and he says, "I like your boobs." First line ever.
So befitting.
That's pretty awesome.
You think he knows that fact about himself?
I would assume so. If I know it, he should know it. He's in the movie.
I'm just saying, like, you think if you went up to him and you're like, "What is your first movie line ever said?" You think he could tell you, "I like your boobs"?
Well, he might remember it differently, Chris, because of how things are filmed and released. Perhaps he filmed something before, but Donnie Darko just happened to come out before this other movie did.
Fine.
I don't have anything else.
It still belongs in the top 50.
Good, good. Maybe. I don't have anything else, really. Chris, you got anything else?
I'm good.
What are we doing next week?
I think it's undecided at the moment.
I don't even know what's out. We'll have to talk about it.
Probably nothing, honestly.
Yeah, I don't even know. So we'll have to figure out something. But until next week, as always, thanks for being here with us. Always a pleasure to have you. Keep staying safe out there, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. So what's up, jabronis?
Say that for the podcast, dude. That's gold material.
Oh, that's gold material?
What I'm up to. Jeez.
I've been recording hit records.
You've been recording hit records? Is that what you said?
Yes, I believe that's what he said.
I think you guys understand. This is the look.
Are you rapping, Naz?
I bought 4 Dickies work shirts at Goodwill, and this is what I wear every day.
Wait, you bought 4 Dickies work shirts at Goodwill?
Yeah, this is the same one. I bought 4 of the same one.
Are you kidding me?
Wear them every
is
day.
This the new style?
Why are you dressing like our dad? That's so weird. But well, you don't have a pen in your pocket.
I can respect that, though. I can respect that.
It's more practical. Like, I wear them to work because I don't want my actual clothes to smell like onions and bacon. Because there's no uniform.
Right.
So, like, this is, in a way, like, just like my chef's coat, but it's the Dickies shirt.
Why don't you just buy a chef's coat?
Because I look like a fucking douchebag if I wore a chef's coat every single day.
That would be hilarious, though. You should do it for the joke one day. You can go get one for, like, $5 at Martin's.
Can you?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I'd wear it for, like, one day.
I'm pretty sure you can even get the hat, too.
This is the look. I wear jeans, a Dickies button-up shirt, and Crocs.
I feel like I would wear the hat unironically.
Yeah, buy the chef's hat, but keep wearing the Dickies button-ups.
I should get, like, the pinstripe chef pants and wear those with the Dickies button-up.
Oh, gosh,
and the Crocs. That's going to be killer, dude.
I think we're just spitting gold here. These are all great ideas.
He's gonna be yeah, yeah.
Probably make it a standard uniform at Harvest Moon Deli.
Sick. I wish they would have T-shirts or something. Like, you have to wear this T-shirt.
I'm surprised they don't have that.
You know how much better that would make my life?
I hate uniforms.
But they got hats though, right?
I don't have to wear the hat. I just choose to.
Is that a Harvest Moon Deli hat?
It is. Awesome. So my boss Red Sox hat now smells like onions and bacon. So
permanently, like, do you wash their clothes?
I wash my clothes, but it's just a hard smell to get out of.
Yeah, onion sucks.
Especially when you're like just cooking in it for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm pretty sure all my clothes smelt like cookies and donuts when I worked at Frank's.
Yeah, it's just like it's one of those. Even if no one around you can smell it, like, you can smell it.
Yeah. I just remember living with Chippy when he worked at Papa Gambino's and thinking, like, gosh, you make me want pizza, but also I really hate myself right now because your fucking scent is making me want pizza.
Instead gross. Of pizza, you just ate Chinese off the floor.
One time. One fucking time.
My new office is above a pizza shop.
You have an office?
Yeah, I do now. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They got an office. So, like, your work is, like, local, right?
Ish. It's, like, 30 minutes away.
That's not bad. Is it above the same pizza place that you used to work at?
No, it's not.
That'd be kind of killer.
That would be something. But, nope, just another pizza joint.
Whenever you're slow up top and they needed help down below, you could go in and throw in a couple Zaz for them, you know, do them a solid.
I'll eat a couple Zaz for them, but I'm not going to.
You're not going to go downstairs and be like, don't worry, guys. I used to do this for a living. I'm a professional. Okay.
No, I'm going to say what I really do is I'm upstairs now. Make me some pizza.
Bitch, I'm a customer now.
Yeah, exactly.
I've started to update my wardrobe too. I'm shopping at Kohl's.
What's the desired look here?
Yeah.
I bought a couple polo shirts.
Oh god.
Yeah, no, I'm like, dressing fancy now.
Polo as in like the collar, or they're like polo Ralph Lauren shirts?
No. I got a couple just polo with the collared shirts. I've got a couple like nice pair of shorts. Like, not cargo shorts, although I'm still going to keep my cargo shorts.
And then, you just bought reasons?
Huh? You just bought new cargo shorts?
No, I bought
cargo shorts?
They're, like, kind of – I bought some, like, regular khaki, like, kind of – okay, my big quarrel –
Are you joining a fraternity?
No, I'm not. But my big quarrel of the week has been understanding the difference between khaki and chino, because it just kind of seemed like khakis are gone. You can't find khakis. They were replaced with chinos.
I gotta tell you, Chris, I can't tell you that I really care.
I understand. I understand where you're coming from, Zach. But what the fuck happened to khaki? Did they just go out of style?
COVID.
Whatever. I got a pair of Crocs, though.
Sick, gotten, me too.
Recently?
Like yesterday.
Dude, nice. What color?
I got the black, like no slip.
Do they have the holes in the top, or did you get like the completely sealed ones?
No, I got the completely sealed ones so that I can wear them at work.
Oh, you need them at work, yeah?
Because if the holes are in them, then they're not certified.
That's a bummer.
I think so, but I can't get in any of those pins now.
I know. I used to have an orange pair when I was a kid, but I got the black pair now, and I'm loving it, gotta say. But I'm updating my wardrobe. I've worn cologne 2 days in a row.
Why?
I had it. I bought that cologne. We went to Martin's with Chippy that one time to go look for golf clubs.
Martin's cologne? Jeez, don't brag.
Okay, it's some nice cologne, okay?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. No need to brag.
I know. I'm pretty sure it used to be a sample because, like, a quarter of it was gone when I bought it.
You don't think – or people were just spraying each other with it because you bought it at Martin's, so teens are probably fucking around in there.
Whatever. I smell good. I didn't put it on today. But Chris is going fancy.
Why?
Why not?
Uh-oh. Did Alyssa tell you to step it up?
No.
You bought some new clothes?
I think.
We went to Dice Arts yesterday morning, and my Alyssa was wearing, like, leggings and, like, a regular t-shirt, and I put on, like, a button-up L.L. Bean shirt and, like, a pair of chino pants, and she was like, Chris, you look too dressed up to go to Dice Arts. And I'm like, hold up. She's like, it's Sunday morning. You just put on a pair of like sweatpants and a baggy t-shirt and you'll be fine. And I'm like, I'm looking good from now on. I've gotten a pair of nice shoes. I got a nice hat. I bought some sunglasses.
You have a pair of loafers?
No, but I did get like a kind of a brown leather looking pair of tie-up shoes.
I think your old look more suits your personality. Like, the 10-year-old EMEA t-shirt that has a big rip in the stomach that you still continue to wear everywhere you go.
I'm not throwing that to the wayside. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm still going to own my cargo shorts. I'm not throwing out my t-shirt I've owned since eighth grade. Like, somehow it fit me year after year, despite me growing in size. Quotation marks, of course. I'm not getting rid of my old wardrobe. I'm just expanding my current one.
I can't hear Jacob. Can you hear him?
I can't hear him at all.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Sorry, I accidentally turned my mic off.
I'm a main man. I gotta wear these Dickies clothes. Maybe I'll get Dickies pants someday.
He's gonna start wearing Red Wing boots to work.
Is there a country song about wearing Dickies clothing? There's gotta be.
I hope so.
Probably. It's probably either Dickies, Levi's, or Wrangler. There's definitely a song about Wrangler jeans.
Well, Zach, if you pull some strings, maybe Dickies will sponsor us.
I hope so.
Four of the same shirt. Four of the same exact Dickies shirt. Like, that's what gets me, dude.
Dude, I always just like...
They're the same color and everything?
Yeah. They're the exact same shirt.
I picture this being like a situation like when you watch a TV show, an old like Nickelodeon TV show or just a cartoon TV show, they're always wearing the same outfit. That's how you're going to be now?
Dude, I'm like Jay-Z. Like, I'm going to look the exact same all the time.
Hold on a second. Explain what you mean by Jay-Z looking the exact same.
He doesn't want to burn his brain power.
Exactly. Jay-Z always... I'm going to be like fucking Steve Jobs. Like, the gray, the tan Dickies shirt is going to be synonymous with the black turtleneck.
Comparing yourself to the CEO of one of the most successful companies in the past 10 years. Sure.
I mean, I'm basically Steve Jobs.
Oh, man. You like the look?
I just don't want to think
like,
about.
Do you like the look of the Dickies shirt, or do you just like the practicality of it?
I'm a practical man. I don't really care what it looks like.
You don't like your outfits? Like, you don't like look at something and say, "That looks good. I'm gonna wear it." You're just like,
I don't want to think about those things. So if I just wear the same thing every day, I don't have to.
It's a valid point.
Like, maybe some days I'll wear black pants instead of jeans, but that's really going to be the only variation here.
Did they have those Dickies shirts in a couple size larger? Because I will wear the exact same outfit as you every day.
They had, like, I think they had 2XL at Martin's, but they were, like, navy blue.
Not the same.
It's like, I was fine with navy blue, but I don't wear 2XL.
Don't worry. I'll go to the Dickies website, and I'll buy the same exact color, full price. They're expensive. I don't care. There is no cost. Money is no object. But I'm telling you, go to Kohl's, look at the clearance section, you'll find some good shit.
I don't want to go to Kohl's.
Why not? Like,
ever. Go to Kohl's.
Kohl's is the nicest store. Unless you get Kohl's cash when you leave.
Why wouldn't you just go like 100 feet down and just go to Old Navy?
I've been to Old Navy because like Old Navy had zero shorts. They had one table with shorts on it and they had a whole wall full of jeans. And everything in there is built for like, not built, but like catered towards little high school kids now, because all they have is our giant baggy sweatshirts and like fucking terrible t-shirts with like graphic tees on it. Not that graphic tees are bad, because I used to wear them myself, but like they're just, I don't get the references on them anymore.
Dude, you're getting old.
I know, trust me. That was like one of the first things I thought. What are they referencing
in Old Navy that's so obscure that you don't get it?
It was just like, I just know, it wasn't that I didn't get the reference, it was just like, I didn't get why it needed to be on a t-shirt.
There was this t-shirt, and there was a pickle on it, and it said, "I'm Pickle Rick," and I just, what is this Pickle Rick? I don't get it.
All I'm saying is that it makes no sense. Like, why would they
Chris, put half Chris, he turned himself into a pickle. I mean, it's simple, man.
It makes no fucking sense.
Because I think you should wear these new fancy clothes that you got, but then wear one of those hats that is, like, raw safari color and has the fake dreadlocks coming out of it.
You mean like your old MySpace photo? You can't just bring that up and expect me not to mention your old MySpace photo.
Dude, I wish I could reactivate that account somehow.
I wish MySpace would make a comeback.
No, you don't. You wouldn't use it. You don't even use what's out there.
I got Instagram back, though. I made a good Instagram the other day.
You don't even log your movies that you watch.
Yeah.
And then you complain about not being able to remember them.
Adjusting my top five friends.
You also can't get a credit card because you're afraid you're going to miss the due date. You want MySpace back? You want a list friends in order? You want to list friends in order? That seems like a heavy task.
I think I could do that. Also, I've been on the fence about getting a credit card lately.
I just paid mine off. You want mine?
Sure. If I could send them my way. I'm only going to, like, use it for super small little things.
Good.
Soda.
I want a cock ring. I'll buy a cock ring.
Super small. Good thinking.
Those can't be, those can't be more than, like, 10, 15 bucks.
I've never bought one. I don't know. Or even considered buying one.
Do a little Google search. Whoa. Captain Taint stimulating cock ring. $20
$20, huh?
Yeah.
The only reason I would ever be interested is because you would have to know, like, a size.
Ringo
I would really be more interested in, like, their size measurements. What are the increments of?
I don't understand what half this stuff is.
Is it, like, one size fits all? Like, it's adjustable?
No, but, like, there's, like, no. They're all, like, they look like hard kind of plasticky type stuff. They have Chris, ones that vibrate.
Share your screen with us.
A second. Screen share. All right, can you see my screen?
Yep.
Like, look at some of this stuff. Like, this one is like a pulsar machine type thing.
Because okay, you do realize that it's not for you, right?
I mean, it's wrapping around my penis.
But it's not designed for you.
Some of them aren't. Some of them are, though, right? Like this one. This one is like has like. This one looks like it's adjustable, though, because it kind of has that two sizes right there.
Yeah, it looks like a fucking muffler clamp.
This one's a
might be. This it is might a fucking be sleeve. It could be stretchable.
That's not a bad idea, a stretchable cock ring. Like, what's this one? Like, look at that thing.
That's a strap-on.
That's not a strap-on, dude. That's built.
That's a double delight. Penises.
That's like you put it over your penis so there's a second penis so that you can penetrate vagina and butthole at the same time.
Yeah, strap-on.
Extra strap-on. My gosh, I didn't know sex toys are so elaborate.
That would be such a massive ring. Look at, like, her hand could fit. It's like a bracelet.
Right here?
No, like, go two down from
the other way. One. Other way.
You go up.
Right there.
Yeah, right there.
What? Speed shift. Does that mean the faster you go, the tighter it gets or some shit?
Oh, that'd be insane. I don't know how it could measure that.
I don't know whose penis they think is that big right here, but that looks a little large for my taste, if you know what I'm saying. Like, look at that fucking thing right there. Imagine that. Gosh, this is like a
wild world
science.
Out there, Chris.
Imagine that.
That's fucking crazy, dude. Like, this is more of what I need. Just your basic ring, you know?
Why don't you just get, like, the O-ring, $3.99. Boom.
No, that's the pleasure ring. Where's the O-ring? Oh, right here?
Yep.
Silicone. That's a starter set. You're right. I should. Can't jump right to the expensive stuff. I'm a beginner.
Click on it.
Click on it? No way, sir. Why? Google is as far as I go.
You're a coward.
Oh, man. Plus, like,
I'm moving in like a little over 3 weeks. So
what, you can't have in 3 weeks?
I don't want to come to like the new neighbor's doorstep.
Where are you moving to?
Just right down the road.
Okay, send it there.
Yeah. Or just keep coming back to check on it. That's really what you should do. Hey, just like knock on the door of the new people that live there. Just wondering if my cock ring showed up yet.
I can knock on the door and they'd be like, oh, you're Chris. A package showed up for you, but you may not want it back.
You should always say, you could go up and say, excuse me, I've been expecting a package from my package. Has anything come in yet?
Oh, man. He's like, you may not want it back, but then again, really seals in the flavor. Oh, my gosh. That's good shit.
All right, you want to get recording here?
Let's do it.
Been recording for 19 minutes and 48 seconds.
I know you have. We got to get our legit recording going.
That's going to get tacked on to the end of the show.
Conversations about the fucking pleasure rings or whatever. They're a lot cheaper than I was expecting, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, like, with anything, pay as little or as much as you want.
I just want to know, like, what's a $200 cock ring look like?
Probably the same as a $4 one.
Yeah, but I want to know,
like, you look the same.
Because, like, they're those, like, vibrating ones, like, that were, like, sleeves that cost $40.
I saw one once that was, like, remote-censored.
I mean, remote-censored?
So, like, you would put it on and it had, like, this little, like, pad thing. So then you could, like, you know, pretend this is, like, your pad. Like, you could, like, do whatever on it and it would mimic that on the device. Like, that, vibrate that way.
That's like in that cool.
Area. Yeah.
You should get one that's, like, motion-censored. So anytime somebody comes to the door, like, replace your doorbell with the cock ring vibrator. So whenever somebody comes up to your door, it like jiggles your junk a little bit.
You'd have to like always be wearing it.
Yeah. I don't know what you're expecting out of me, Zachary.
And do you expect a lot of guests?
Do you just invite people over like over and over again?
No, all I'm saying is that like if I do that for 10 years, that means that for the rest of my life, whenever somebody comes to the door, if I stop wearing it, I'm going to get a boner.
Excuse me. For the rest of your life, and then for the next 10 years, you only have 10 years left?
No, here's what I'm saying. I wear the cock ring for
10
years.
Or it'll
years,
be like Pavlov's dog, where you've just been trained that
life. I'm just trained. Like, every time somebody comes to the door, I get Pavlovian. Yeah.
That's good. Pavlov should have experimented with that instead.
This is the stuff, man. This is why I should go to the psychology majors at USM and pitch them this.
You should.
Yeah, the professor's like, guys, why does it say that the school budget was spent at adamandeve.com?
I would love your doctorate, Chris. I think it could be a lot of fun.
You'd be a sex doctor. All right. Ready when you are.
All right. I'm going to hit record.
3, 2, 1, go.